Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious day you're going to stay, Lord, to be in your house free to glorify you. I pray that for all the people that were affected on this day 21 years ago, that you'll be with them with your hand of peace and grace, that somebody might touch them today that just shows your love towards them. Lord, I pray for this message today, Lord, I pray that you will touch everybody here, that you will touch their hearts and their mind, that Brother Cal will speak, you'll speak through Brother Cal today, Lord, in a mighty way. I just pray that for this Lord's Supper, Lord, that we will come to you in a special way, Lord, that we will receive you. I pray for anybody that doesn't know you today, Lord, that they will. That they will, chains will be broken, that they will come running to you, Lord, because you haven't gone anywhere, that we're just, you have your hands wide open. Lord, thank you for this day, and I pray for all the Sunday school teachers, that you will be with them, the people in the back, the Brother Billy, Lord, in the high school ministry. Be with them. I pray for Brother Charles too, Lord, put your healing hand on him. I know Janelle's going through a tough time, and I thank you for a church that steps up and steps out when there's time of help and need, that shows your love for each and other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. It's been a great week of ministry. For the church, thank God for the three men that went up to Lynch, Kentucky this week with all kinds of supplies for the ministry there. And the Denny's were at their lake house all weekend with a bunch of teenagers. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So it's been a great week. And then, you know, the tough stuff runs alongside the good stuff. I mean, it's like a set of railroad tracks. And so we're just, you know, experiencing good times and experiencing tough times. But Jesus is Lord of all. So don't ever forget that. And I thank God for you all. Thank you for your service to the Lord. And one of these days, we're going to talk about this. You're going to be rewarded for your service to God. If you did what you do for His glory. If you did it for you or anybody else, gone. Anyways. I'll tell you what I want to do, Adam. I want to start over here in Mark. Yeah. It's tough. We're going to Mark 14 to start off, if we can, this morning. And then we'll wind up over in Revelation chapter 19. When you find Mark 14, would you stand by honoring God's word if you can? And then I think, Adam, I'll start at verse 24. And if you're at Mark 14, 24, say amen.
Amen.
All right, great. And he said to them, who is he? This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Now watch this. Listen to this. Lean in. Here it is. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And Father, would you add your blessing to the reading, to the teaching and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, authoritative word in our lives today. In Jesus' name we ask it. All God's people said, amen. Thank you. Thank you for your reverence for the word of God today. Now, we're sitting down at the Lord's table this morning. We're observing the Lord's Supper, one of the two ordinances of the Baptist Church. The other is baptism, okay? Some of you may wonder, why don't we have foot washing? Well, that's another sermon for another time. But this morning, we want to sit down at the Lord's table. Now, it's very interesting. Before the Lord Jesus, just hours before His arrest, His trial, and His crucifixion, Jesus sat down and enjoyed a meal with His followers. Just before all of, hell itself broke loose into His life. And they were sitting down not just to any meal, they were sitting down to the Passover meal. The Passover meal was when the Jews once a year would gather around a roasted lamb and they would look back at the great delivering hand of their God who had led them many years ago out of a land of slavery, out of Egypt, and brought them into Canaan land eventually. And so that's what Jewish folks would do is once a year they would sit down to a Passover meal. But at the end of this particular meal, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. That's what we call it today. Communion, the Lord's Supper. Some have called this the Last Supper. But I'm thankful. It ought to be one of the most tremendous Sundays of the year here at Second Mile Church as we sit down with the Lord. And there are three imperatives, three commands, if you will, that we should focus on every time we observe the Lord's Supper. Number one, it is a time of looking back. It is a time of looking back. Jesus said that we're not to remember His birthday, we're to remember His what? Death. Not that you can't remember His birthday, but we're to remember His death. In other words, we're to look back and focus on the sacrifice and the suffering that He went through on the cross so we could be forgiven of our sin. It's a time of looking back. And then as we sit down to the Lord's table this morning, it is a time of looking within. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32, I believe it is, talks about it ought to be a time of self-examination. In other words, we need to look deeply within and examine our lives to see if we are right with God. That's one of the principles of sitting down to the Lord's table. He wants to keep His church pure and holy. Hello? Boy, there was two amens there. I will tell you, He didn't save us so we could be happy. He saved us so we might be holy. And so this is what, it's to be a time of self-examination. And I want to say to you, if you've got any unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life, and you don't get those issues right with God this morning, you're eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. That's a pretty strong word. You read 1 Corinthians 11. That's what it says. And so this ought to be a time of examination, of looking within, but it's also to be a time of looking forward. And the Scripture tells us, over there, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it tell you how often we're to do this. It just says, when you do this in remembrance of me. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. How long? Till He comes. You do know that He's coming again. Tell somebody He's coming. And so it is this aspect I want us to look to as we sit down at the Lord's table. I want to talk to you about another supper. Evidently, those words that we just read in Mark chapter 14 and verse 25, I think Jesus is talking about a specific meal. a time out in the future when he will sit down with his followers, with his disciples, and drink the fruit of the vine anew and afresh with his followers in the kingdom of God when it comes in all its fullness. Are you with me so far? John called it the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so we're going to go to the book of Revelation 19. And this is going to be a shorter sermon today. Yeah. You're not going to own up to that, are you? Huh? And so let's take a look at Revelation 19. In this marriage supper, this marriage celebration, first of all, there's a ceremony. There's a ceremony. Look at Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us be glad. Not sour. Let us be glad and rejoice. As we look forward to this other supper that the Lord's talking about, we can look forward to it with joy and celebration and happiness. And I want to tell you, we need to focus every now and then on something positive and something happy in the time that we're living in. My goodness. Now look again there at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. Here it is. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And so we're talking here about a wedding ceremony. We're talking here about a marriage. I've done several weddings and several marriages in my 4.5 years here at Second Mile Church. And I guess the last one I went to, Mike, was of Abby and Seti's wedding. And it was a gorgeous, beautiful wedding. Really was. And it was held in a very rustic place outside. Will, what was the name of that place? Outside of Laverne, Tennessee somewhere. Lebanon, Tennessee, yeah. Anyways, it was a gorgeous plantation and log house and just unbelievable setting. Just wonderful. And you know what I noticed? It didn't matter whether your last name was Perry or Barnett or whatever. Everybody was happy. Everybody was smiling. That's the way a wedding is, right? And we, 99% of the people are happy about it. So there are some folks in your family, they're not going to be happy about anything, right? And so, but most folks are happy about a marriage, are happy about a wedding. And it was a great celebration with Abby and Seti. And I'll never forget, the ceremony itself took place over the top of this big log house in what I called the upper room. And the wedding party, you know, was standing in the back door, and we all came in, and Seti and I came in. And by the way, where's Terry? Perry. Way in the back. What are you doing in the back, girl? You're a front row believer. The groom was good looking. I mean, I've seen some that weren't quite there, but I mean, Seti was looking good that day. And so he and I come in to the front of the room there, and then the wedding party comes in, you know, the bridesmaids and the groom, they all come in, and we're all standing up there, and guess who we're waiting on? Abby. And I mean, her song came on, and her daddy is walking her down the aisle. And I mean, this is the truth, y'all. I've never seen an ugly bride on her wedding day. I haven't. Now, there are some that look better than others, but I want to tell you, Abby was looking good that day. And they'd spent a lot of time on her. I mean, her makeup was perfect. At least she told me it was. And her hair, I mean, somebody had spent a lot of time and dollars on her hair. And then she had this gorgeous dress. And so as she comes up the aisle, every eye was on her. And poor old Seti, he was weak in the knees, you know. And I mean, it was just tough. It's always tough on the groom. And so she comes in and we say, you know, we move through the ceremony and we get them hitched, you know, and they say their vows and they exchange the rings and then it really got good. I mean, everybody got really happy. And while the couple is downstairs, help me, I'm about to get in trouble here. They spent about a half an hour taking pictures, okay? You know. But you know what? They provided appetizers for us while we were waiting on this couple to come in to the wedding celebration. And there was fruit trays and nuts and all kinds of delicious appetizers and punch and champagne. And I mean, it was all good. And everybody was happy. And then all of a sudden, here comes Seti and Perry. And y'all, they walked in. Everybody just went ballistic. Everybody went nuts, you know, started clapping. And then we sat down, bless God will, to a steak dinner. We didn't go to Chick-fil-A. We got steak, amen? And so they served a steak dinner, and man, it was great. And then the music cranked up, and both sets of parents got up and said some encouraging things to the bride and the groom, and they prayed over them, and Terry got up and halfway preached. She opened up the Bible and started reading Scripture, and it was just a fantastic time. And then they struck the band. And by the way, Baptists do dance. And they had a floor, and folks were dancing. It was a great time. That's where a wedding ought to be. Well, it ain't going to touch it. Nothing is going to compare to this tremendous time. It's going to be glorious. So who's going to be there at this wedding ceremony? I'm glad you asked. Every believer from Pentecost to the rapture will be there at this wedding ceremony. The church. Now, you need to know a little something about a Jewish wedding because this is so reminiscent when you read through here. You know, in a Jewish wedding, you had what they call the betrothal period. You remember Mary and Joseph? They were legally married, but they hadn't consummated the marriage. And sometimes that'll last 6 months to a year in this betrothal period. And then you have, you know, the wedding ceremony, and the couple consummates their marriage, and then they have sometimes what would be considered a week-long party, 7 days celebration. And so when you come here, you got the wedding ceremony, and you've got all these folks that are there, and well, the church is there, and by the way, we are the bride of Jesus Christ. We're the bride. Now, I know, I'll tell you what, real quickly, can we just go to Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to see this. This is the classic passage on marriage. Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to this. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Wow. And then verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we're members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. And so in this particular wedding ceremony, the bride is made up of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in this betrothal period. You may not know this, but if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're engaged to him. This is why there's not going to be any marriage in heaven, because we're already married. Some of y'all are jumping up and down. And some of y'all, And it's very interesting how he describes the church, just like Abby, is being prepared to present her to the Lord. The Lord is the groom, right? Okay? And we're in this engagement period right now. And you might say, well, I don't have an engagement ring. Yeah, you do. You've got the Holy Spirit, and he is the guarantee that you'll make it to this wedding day. Say amen. And so you've got this marriage ceremony going on, and the church is being presented to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, we're going to get a beauty treatment, church, before we go to this wedding ceremony. We're going to the beauty parlor, and they're going to get us ready. Hallelujah. We are going to the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture, we're headed to the judgment seat, and it's there. He's going to remove every spot, every wrinkle, every blemish, all that stuff, so that we will be ready to marry the Lord Jesus. Whew, think about that. And then we're going to have, now guys, I don't believe in cross-dressing and all this other stuff, okay? But our wedding garment is going to be made up of something supernatural. You are going to be wearing every single good deed, good work that you did for God's glory. Every one of them. That's what's going to make up our wedding garment. And man, it's going to be a beautiful wedding gown. Only the things done for the Lord are going to be rewarded by the Lord for His honor. And so I want to ask you this morning real quickly. This is another sermon for another time, really. But what are you doing for the church and for the Lord's church? And I want to ask you, who are you doing it for? You singers, who are you singing for? You musicians, who are you playing for? Ushers, greeters, who are you greeting and ushering for? Every single good work and good deed that you do for His praise and honor and glory is going to be rewarded. That's going to be your wedding gown. Man, you don't want to walk into this ceremony with a nasty looking robe on. Hallelujah. So we're going to be rewarded. Now, having said that, in this ceremony, we're going to be presented to the Lord Jesus, and we are going to be married to Him, the bride of Christ, the church. And we're going to be with Him for all of eternity. Glory to God. So there's going to be a ceremony. Are you with me so far? And then there's going to be a supper. Now, I like this. I like this. How many of you like just a good old, I mean, sit down. Will knows. I prefer a ribeye steak dinner. I don't know what we're going to have, but it's going to be a supper. That's what Jesus said. Now watch this. Look at verse 9. Then He said to me, write, blessed are those who are called, and that word there means invited, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I, this is John writing, I fell at His feet to worship Him, this angel. But He said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Tell somebody, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You understand? Who Old Testament prophecy is about and what New Testament preaching is about? It's about Jesus. He is the spirit of prophecy. He is the spirit of preaching. That's who. If you miss the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've missed it all. The Bible was written so that you might come to know Him. So, having said that, let me say this. He says, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper. So you got this invitation to a marriage supper. Now you already know who's there. The church is there. We're the bride. And the groom is there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you've got all these invited guests. Who are they? The friends of the bridegroom. Everybody. Everyone that belongs to God before the church age and after the church age Everyone that is a follower of God will be one of these invited guests. You know, y'all all send out, you know, invitations to everybody. Well, the invitation is here's for the whole family of God. And everybody's going to be there. Prophets, priests, seers, scribes, saints. We're all going to be there. We're all going to sit down at this amazing supper that's been prepared for His honor and glory. And by the way, today in a wedding, all eyes are on who? The bride. Well, on this day, every eye is going to be on Him, the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're all going to sit down at this table. And by the way, let me just go back to this Jewish wedding stuff. You've got a betrothal period, okay? And during that time, by the way, the father of the bride and the father of the groom have met together, and they kind of overseeing things. Yeah, this is going to be a good fit. Bless God. Don't you wish we still did that today? And so this is going to be a good fit. This is going to be a good marriage. And then they reveal to the groom, it's time for you to go prepare a place for this bride of yours. And so he says, honey, give me some time, but I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself. Is this coming to fruition for y'all? And so, bless God. And the father oversees the building process for their new home. Because, I mean, most grooms are going to be impatient. And they're ready to marry this girl and get things rolling, right? And so once the father checks off and says, okay, the place is prepared, then he heads back to the bride's house. And he says, honey, it's time. And the bridegroom's friends are out in the streets. Prepare the way, the bridegroom cometh. And he comes after the father has sent him and says, it's okay, it's time. And he takes his bride and they go find some rabbi and go through the ceremony, you know. And then they consummate the marriage. And then they go to this week long. You remember Jesus at the wedding in Cana? He was at one of these 7-day long feasts, celebrations. And the father of the bride ran out of what? Yeah, that was huge embarrassment. And so Jesus helped him out. And so all of these folks are sitting down to this table, all God's family. And let me tell you, the music is going to be literally out of this world. How many of you like to sit down and hear some music playing? Restaurants have figured out if you'll do that, you'll make a little more money. Watch this. Look at Revelation 19, 1. After these things, John said, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. Because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. And again they said, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worship God, that's all of creation, who sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. They're going to be singing the hallelujah chorus as we sit down. Hallelujah. By the way, some of y'all, I hope y'all are going to have a good time at this supper. I don't know what it's going to take to get you happy and get a smile on your face, but if this doesn't do it for you, you're in a mess. And so we're going to sit down to a gorgeous meal together. And the music will be playing. And all the saints of God will be there. Billy, what's the first question you're going to ask of the first person? I'm going to look up Paul. And then I'm going to find old John the Baptist, the friend of the bridegroom. Got a lot of questions for these guys. But the main one I want to see is not only the groom, but the host, the Lord Jesus. And then you know what He's going to do? He's going to sit down. And he's going to raise that glass, that fruit of the vine. And he's going to drink it anew with us in the kingdom of God. Just like he promised. Child of God, you listen to me. He is saving the best for the last. He's saving the best for the last. Do you hear it? Let a holy hush fall over us this morning. Do you hear the music? Do you smell the food? Do you hear the tinkling of silverware as the angels are setting the table? Do you see those goblets of grace? Plates of peace? Do you see the spoonfuls of love and the bowls of joy? Do you see it? Trays of forgiveness, dishes of mercy, and bless God, silverware of forgiveness. There's coming another supper, and the only way you can get prepared for it is to repent of your sin and trust Christ. And Christ alone. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank you for this season. I thank you for this service, and I thank you for this supper that's right out there in front of us. And God, we can hear tinkling of that silverware in those dishes. The angels are setting the table. And I believe soon and very soon, the musicians are going to strike up that praise band. And all God's family going to be home. But Lord, if there's one or two or ten here this morning, before we sit down at your table, I pray, God, that you would do a work in our hearts. If there's a lost person here, and I know that there is, would the Holy Spirit of God grab hold of that person right now and convict them of their need for Jesus? And that they might turn to Him and confess and by faith receive His finished work at Calvary. This supper points back to that death. And there are others here this morning. All of us. And Father, before we sit down at the table, we don't want there to be anything. Anything. Between us and you. We need to confess and repent, which means to turn from, to walk away from, to forsake, to abandon the sins that you lay on our hearts as we confess those to you. We want to prepare. We want to examine our lives this morning. And right now, as Andrew's playing, you get that issue right with God. Just ask Him. Is there anything in my life that you're not pleased with? Anything. Just ask Him. Confess it to Him. Tell Him He's right and you're wrong. And by the way, that's one more sin that Jesus had to pay for. And now turn from that sin. Walk away from it. Be done with it. Thank God for His cleansing this morning and His forgiveness. Whatever God needs to do right now in this time of stillness and quietness. You do your business with the Lord. If you need Jesus, if you need salvation, I'm here. You can wave at me or stand up. I'll help you. Whatever we got to do. Father, bless this time of self-examination. As we look back, as we have sung about the blood of Jesus, oh God, we do not want to crucify you all over again with unconfessed, unrepented sin. We don't want to drink and eat judgment upon our own lives and our families. And so, God, we want to turn from all that today and receive your mercy and grace. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. Glory to your name. While you're praying and while you're getting ready to sit down at the table here with the Lord spiritually, I want to ask our deacons to come forward. Y'all just come forward, get ready to serve. They're going to give you all two cups, one with the bread and one with the juice in it. You just take that as they pass the plates, and I'll let you know when it's time to partake of it, okay? Greg Lee, ask God to bless the cup and the bread today, would you?
Lord, as we come to you this morning, sit at the table for the Lord's Supper, I ask you to bless the bread and bless the...
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.